We're in week four of a series that we've entitled Focused. And what does it mean to be focused? I mean, I think about focusing, I think about light. Now, light is a wonderful thing. Without light, we would have darkness. And I'm glad we have lights right now so you can even see me while you're watching on screen. But if you were to take a light and you were to concentrate it, if you were to focus it, if you were to pull it all together, it could get so strong that it forms a laser. Of course, I'd like to think that you could focus it so strong you can form a lightsaber. And you can do some damage with either a laser or a lightsaber. But you, when we are focused, we can be effective and we can do something. And so today we're asking this question in this area of being focused. And we're saying this: does God care that I'm all alone? Now, if you came today and you're looking for hope, for peace, for purpose, for focus to your life, then I've got some good news for you, because there is hope found in Jesus. And at the end of this message, I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive that hope. I'd like for you to open your Bible app to Matthew chapter 12. We're going to be reading out of the New Living Translation, and this is our first day using our new platform, the Church Online platform, and you can find the notes in another tab over to the right, and you can also read along. The Bible app is embedded into the software, so you can look it up. Matthew chapter 12, the New Living Translation, NLT. And I like to set up the scenario of what is happening. Jesus is in the middle of his ministry. He is meeting with people, and he's been traveling different places. And this particular time, he's at somebody's house. And he's at somebody's house, and the place is packed. And somebody wants to see him. He must be ministering so close to his family that his family comes to visit him. Now, if you just imagine for a moment about his mom, his brothers, his sisters, that they're coming to visit him. They're like, hey, we know that guy. We've got an in. You know, no matter where we go, we kind of wish that we had an in. And recently, we were at a conference in Texas that was hosted at the Oaks Church, and the Oaks Church has an amazing intern program, and my oldest son, he's a part of that program, the Oaks School of Leadership. And we got to do something that the average attender doesn't normally get to do, and that's because Randon was an intern there, he went to his pastor in charge and he said, hey, can I take my mom and my dad and Pastor Andrew and Pastor Rachel, can I take them behind the scenes? And they said, yes, Randon, you're an awesome intern. Whatever you want, you can do. You take him. And so we got backstage passes to see behind the scenes. We walked up onto the stage. We saw behind. We saw the green room. We saw it all. We felt kind of special because we knew somebody. Mary and her brothers, her sons, who are brothers of Jesus, went to go see Jesus ministering. They wanted special access because they knew him. So we're reading today at Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 through 50, and it says this. As Jesus was speaking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside asking to speak to him. Someone told Jesus, your mother and your brothers are standing outside and they want to speak to you. And Jesus asked, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? And then he pointed to his disciples and said, look, these are my mother and brothers. Anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Let's pray. God, I pray that in the next few moments as we unpack your word for us today, that you would speak to us, that you would speak to both our hearts and our minds, Lord, that you would challenge us with your word as we look at this idea of being focused and whether or not we need to be alone. In Jesus' name we all said, amen. Now I want to welcome those who are watching online. This is or whether you're watching right now or you're listening to this later. You know, we're glad that you have joined us, and I really encourage you to look at the notes, and even later on, sometime this week, pull those notes back out and reread for yourself. Just don't take my word for what the Bible says on this. But my wife and I, one of the things we love to do, we've kind of got a guilty pleasure that whenever a new one of these movies come out, we go watch it. And you'd probably be surprised that we are huge fans of the Fast and the Furious franchise. You know, with the cars and everything, and just, I think they've come out with like 9 movies now, and it's crazy, and there's about to be a new one that's about to come out, and it's probably going to go straight to home versus to the theaters, because the theaters are all closed, but we love watching these movies, and one of the things that ties these movies together is that it's a group of people who are tight-knit, and the main character refers to them as his family. That they are family, and I'll do anything for family. And they're like, they're not even related to you. But he's like, family, family's everything. You see, when I watch these movies, it reminds me of my own experience of growing up. You see, my mom and dad, they're from New Jersey, and that's where they were born and raised. And I was born there as well. But after I was born, my dad joined the military. And they sent us to the deep south, like the bottom of the border of the Georgia-Florida line. No, not the band, but the actual Florida-Georgia line. And I started growing up there in the south. Us being northerners, we knew no one. We had no family. And that actually began a journey for me that started off with me only having an immediate family and not really having an extended family. And I'm not talking about they didn't exist, it's just we were always so far away from them that it made it hard to grow up just knowing who they were and how they were and being really close to them. But it was while we were living in Georgia that a coworker of my dad's, they worked on the flight line, working aircraft maintenance, and he constantly had a shift with my dad sitting in a tool shed checking out tools, and he would tell my dad about Jesus. And one day, my dad accepted Jesus, and he came home and told my mom about it. My mom accepted Jesus, and they took me as little 3-year-old Ryan, not much taller than I am right now, short, took me to church. And we began going to church for the first time ever. I don't think anyone in our families had ever gone to a church. And there was something that took place when we attended that church that changed the rest of my life, and it was this. Not the fact of just being introduced to Jesus, but really that there was a family in the church who saw my mom and dad and said, hey, we're going to adopt you. We're just going to love on you. We're going to invite you for every cookout that we have. We're going to invite you for every holiday. And they treated us like we belonged to them. You see, this family, the Millers, they treated my mom and dad just like their own sons and daughters. And they treated my brothers and I just like we were grandkids. And that kind of set the tone that no matter where we lived growing up, we always had adopted family. That we referred to people as uncles and aunts and cousins. But we always had Grandma and Grandpa Miller. Now, that's something that's cool about when it comes to following God. But that day that Jesus was ministering and his mom, his brothers, they wanted to see him and they wanted special access. And when they were asking for special access, they sent somebody in to go talk to Jesus and say, hey, your mom and your brothers. Maybe they even had code words, like maybe it was security guards or something, you know, with little earwigs, something going in and saying, hey, they're here to see you. Should you stop what you're doing? You should go pay attention. It's your mom after all. But Jesus wanted to teach a lesson that day. Because the lesson he wanted to show not only his disciples who were there that day, he wanted to show you and he wanted to show me that you don't have to be mom and brothers to get special access, but that we all get special access to him. And why is that? It's because it's God's plan for us to all be a family. That's how God designed it. And really, that's got to be the best news ever because it doesn't matter what your family looks like, God has a family for you. Now, when you hear family, you might think about, wow, my family's messed up. And man, if God's family looks like what my family looks like, then I'm not sure I want anything to do with that. But that's okay. Because with God's family, it's the way it was meant to be. That God's family is meant to be inclusive, loving, forgiving, caring, sharing. However, I've discovered being here in Wisconsin that it's not natural for people from Wisconsin to include outsiders kind of in. And we experienced this when we first moved here, that we were taking our kids to school. And when we're taking the kids to school, we were dropping them off at the middle school. And at the time, we had Kansas license plates. And we seemed to be just a target for people honking at us because we out-of-state plates anytime we drove around here. So if we didn't leave the stop sign fast enough, or we didn't leave the green light fast enough, we got a honk. But we were one day, one morning, dropping our kids off to school. And we get pulled over. Now, let me describe the scenario real quick. We were dropping the kids off, but they forgot something, so I quickly jumped out of the van, and I delivered it for the kids, and then I decided to run to the front of the line to catch Shalee as she's going out of the driveway. So we hop in, and we leave, and it turns out the police were called by several concerned people saying, there's some people from out of state who they look shady, and they're doing something, who knows? They were running in front of the school. Now, if we had Wisconsin tags, I'm convinced that the police wouldn't have been called. But we just explained what was going on. They're like, yeah, we don't like outsiders here. But that's okay. You see, this concept of what we're looking at, family, this is a really important part of who we are, even as a church. You see, when we began Focus Church, we believed that God said, I want you to do a few things and do them really well, to be focused as a church. And one of those focuses, our main point for today, that if you don't remember anything else of what I say, I want you to remember this. Don't do life alone. Welcome to the family. And this is something we just don't say. It's something we mean, and it's something we do. Don't do life alone. Welcome to the family. Now, if you are already part of the Focus Church family, with this time of being social distancing and separating ourselves and kind of being in fear with whatever we could catch out there, it could be very easy that in our desire to maintain our health, that we have an adverse effect of distancing ourselves from relationship. And it's not the way it's meant to be. We're meant to be family together. You are a part of this family. You do not have to feel alone. And really, if that's all we wanted to get across today, we could just stop right there, you know, mic drop. I won't drop the mic. Okay. Because then I wouldn't have another one. But here's why we've got to look at what it means to be family. Because this is a concept that for some people is foreign, of what it looks like. Maybe you haven't come from a healthy family relationship. Maybe you even experienced with other churches and trying to be a part of those families that didn't really put as a good paradigm in your mind of what it can be. But I want to take just a moment today to unpack what does it mean to be a part of a healthy church family and why is it important to us. You see, God wants us to be a family because we are stronger together. Now, we're all having to spend extra time at home. Some of us are forced to work at home. Some of us are forced to work with kids at home doing their schoolwork. Some of us have been informed that we don't have any work anymore and we have to be home and we just have to kind of stay on our phones and on our social media and watching TV and binging Netflix or whatever, Disney Plus. I love a picture that my friend sent me. He said it's kind of that look of that introverts, you know, that look you get when you realize that your way of life is considered being quarantined, you know. But someone came out with a news article, just came out yesterday, that said, during this time of everyone being at home, video game playing has increased. And that's kind of like a duh. In other news, water's wet, right? Of course, video game playing is going to increase. And you know, I like playing video games, and it's something I enjoy doing. And you can find me playing Fortnite, or recently I got hooked on Call of Duty with the new Battle Royale game type they have. And my kids are always surprised that I can actually play these types of games really well, but they say, Dad, you don't follow the rules. Then I said, then how come I'm winning? And they're like, I don't know. And I said, I'll tell you why. It's because I use military tactics. You see, I have a military background, was in the military, and I've taken those concepts and I've taken them and applied them to how to play the game. And let me just give you one simple clue that would increase your ability to play a video game and to do it well. Don't just charge into danger, which most kids do when they're playing the game. They just start running out there in the open and, well, you are unprotected. Whereas what military tactics am I talking about that helps me win a game? I sneak around. I use cover. I hide. I try to have one aspect of my side protected by a wall. That way I can see over here to see if anyone's out here going to get me because I know I got a wall to my back. Little did I know that this wasn't just military tactics. This is actually Bible tactics. You see, in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12, it says this. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. But two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. We are stronger when we are together, not separated. So who is our family? You see, God wants us to be family, and family is made up of those who worship him together. What brings us together is that we all have been saved by grace through Jesus Christ. He's the reason. We may not be blood related, but really we are blood related through Jesus's. You know, I think about the Millers, who acted as grandparents to my brothers and I. There is one significant moment in time that has been forever etched in my memory that has solidified this concept of what it means to do this family thing right. You see, they loved Jesus more than anything, and they really believed in this adoption of, hey, we're family because Jesus made us part of the same family. There was one time that we no longer lived near the Florida-Georgia line, but we moved to West Florida, another military assignment, and they invited us to come back to celebrate Christmas with them. But what we didn't know was that when we came to celebrate Christmas with them, they also invited their real kids and their real grandkids to come celebrate Christmas with them. And so we were there, and I remember as a young kid wondering, like, this is really awkward. This is kind of strange, kind of like we're intruding on this family tradition. And then I saw the Christmas tree, and there were presents everywhere. And I'm like, oh, they bought tons of presents for the grandkids, and now this is going to be really awkward, right? But when it was time for the presents to be passed out, when it was time to open the presents, my brothers and I had the same amount of awesome presents from Grandma and Grandpa Miller as their real grandkids did. And that stood out to me that, wow, that Jesus could pull people together into a family in such a way that it doesn't matter we're not related, that we can still love each other, that we can still take care of each other. You see, the way that we're doing church today is very intentional, that we're not taking the time to just do a little devotional, and we're not taking the time to just have someone play some songs or to put something up on YouTube saying, hey, go reference this music. But really, we wanted to feel like, hey, you're a part. That even when we cannot physically be together, we still want to worship together. Now, normally, we're concentrated in a couple locations worshiping together, but today, we are scattered and we're worshiping together, and the technology and the internet is tying us all together at the same time. And this is amazing. This is how God works. And it's amazing to be even a part of something bigger than just our church. There are churches all around our nation, really all around the world, who are gathering together online right now, and they're worshiping. And we're all part of a bigger family. You are not alone. You know, God wants us to be a family because we take care of each other. And this is an important part. You see, one of the things that really ministered to us from this family who had adopted us when I was younger wasn't just the fact that, hey, they gave us presents or we got to go hang out at their farm or just have those good experiences, but it was also when we were in need, they took care of us. You see, that's how family is supposed to be. And when I think about family and I think about care, I think about the story that took place probably around the same time that this story that we just read about Mary and her sons coming to visit Jesus. You see, there was another instance where Jesus is in a home and it's crowded in there and everybody's all around and they're trying to say, hey, we're trying to get in close. We want to hear what he has to hear. And there were five friends. One of them was really hurt, was actually lame, couldn't walk. And the four other friends said, you know, if we could just get our friend to Jesus, we know he can do something for him. And so they kind of conspired together to put together a mat, kind of a stretcher type situation. They heard that Jesus was going to be right over there. And so they picked him up and they carried him. The four of them carried him all the way to where Jesus sat. And when they got to the house, they discovered that, whoa, we got here too late. We didn't know people came so early. They got the best seats. There's no more seats. The overflow seating is overfilled. And there's just no way to get in. We can't even see Jesus. And at that point, it would be natural for us to assume and say, hey, guys, we tried. There's no way to get in. Maybe we can wait, and maybe they'll offer another service or something. I don't know. But they didn't give up. And that's key. They wanted to take care of their friend, and they knew that their friend needed Jesus. And they weren't going to give up. They weren't going to have an obstacle that would stop them from taking care of their friend. And let me just say this for a moment. Some of you, you're in your house right now, and you've been alone, and you've been sitting there, and you've been believing lies whispered to your ears that say, nobody cares about you. And it's not true. Are you going to let a stumbling block, just the first barrier that comes up to say, hey, because no one sent you a message today, or no one talked to you today, or you can't go see anyone, or you didn't hear from it, is that going to stop you from being cared for or for caring for someone else? These friends were totally justified stopping in that moment to say, hey, bud, we tried. We tried to get in. It was full. Sorry, dude. That's how life is. Don't give up. And that's what those friends did that day. They didn't give up. They said, we're going to figure out a way. If we cannot go through the crowd, if we cannot go around the crowd, then we're going to go over the crowd. And so they went up and they found stairs, the exterior of the building, found the roof, figured out what room Jesus was in. They began tearing apart the roof. They said, we're going to bring our friend right to Jesus, because they cared for their friend. And I can only imagine, if you were right there with Jesus and you're looking up, I mean, if this roof started tearing apart right now, it'd be kind of distracting. But they were in there, and Jesus is in there, and he's seeing the roof is being torn apart. And it's got to be torn apart kind of big to lower in a guy who's on a mat, and they lower him in. They're like, oh, hold on. Let's lower him in. Let's get him out. Hey, Fred, come on. A little bit more. And they get him all the way to Jesus. They don't want to drop him, because that would be even worse. But if you're going to fall from a roof, I mean, in Jesus' lap, it's probably not a bad place to fall, right? But anyways, they bring him in, and Jesus, the Bible describes that Jesus saw the faith of the man's friends. He said, hey, take your mat up, pick it up. You're going to walk out of here. Jesus took care of him that day, but it was because of the faith of friends who said, we're like family together. We're going to care for each other, and that's what we've got to do. If any time, this is the time that we've got to do that. We've got to figure out how to help each other. Some of you have already said, hey, if there's anything I can do to help somebody, guess what? You don't need permission to help somebody. You can just go help someone. If you come up with an idea of how to help somebody during this time, go do it. That's what it's called to be a part of the church. That's what it's called to be part of the family. If God puts somebody in your mind, text them. Give them a call. You're not quarantined from your phone. Although some of you should be. Might be looking at it too much nowadays. I can tell when I'm looking at my phone too much because my eyesight's kind of bad and I don't always wear my glasses. And I get a headache and I'm like, oh, too much Facebook today. Maybe that's you too. Now, if there was ever an example of what a church family is supposed to be like, it'd be looking at the very first church family in the book of Acts, chapter 2. In verse 44, it says this, all the Lord's followers often met together, and they shared everything they had. They would sell their property and possessions and give the money to whoever needed it. They were taking care of each other. They were being family together. So if you see a need, fill a need. You don't need permission to help somebody out. Now, God also wants us to be family because we get to pray for each other. You are not alone. And it is not a weak thing to say, I need help. It's not a weak thing to say, I need somebody to pray for me. If anything, it's recognizing that, hey, we aren't good enough, we don't have enough, and you know what we really need? We need God's help. And I need my family to surround me and to pray for me. Probably the best thing that we can do. You see, too often we get into situations that I like to describe as only God moments. You see, you might have faced some of those just this week where you're looking at saying, oh, where'd all the money go on the bank account? What about the job? I thought I was going to have 40 hours this week, and all of a sudden I got told I got 20, and all of a sudden I got told you don't have a job. And at first, panic and stress and anxiety can all come in, but this is a perfect opportunity to say, God, only you can do something here. An only God moment. Sometimes we need some help when it comes to prayer. And it's okay to pray for each other. It's okay to ask for prayer. It's okay if you don't even say everything. Guess what? God knows exactly what you need before you even ask for it. But you know what? He wants you to ask. He wants you to ask him. He wants you to talk to him. And I'll tell you a little secret. You don't have to be a pastor for God to hear your prayer. There's nothing more special about my prayer or Pastor Andrew's prayer. We may have a little bit more experience praying, but it doesn't mean it's any better or that it gets to God any faster. Your prayer is simply talking to God, saying, God, I need you. God, I need help. God, will you do something here? Believing that God can do anything. So does God care that you are all alone? He does. Because it's not the way that he designed it. You see, we were made to be in relationship with him and with others. But sometimes we can't just sit back and wait for people to include us. Maybe we've got to take that first step and take that initiative to say, I'm going to do something about this. We're supposed to be family. We're supposed to be in relationship. We're supposed to help each other. We're supposed to pray. We're gathered together because we're worshiped together. We're stronger together. We can be encouraged together. And yet, especially during this time, we can feel like I'm isolated. I have no one. There is nobody. Nobody cares. But God's saying today, do something about it. You have family. You have brothers and sisters and mothers. Jesus said, the people who follow after me, who do what does what God asks them to do, they are your mother. They are your brothers. They are your sisters. So take a step forward and say, I'm doing something about it. Take a step forward and say, I'm going to reach out to somebody. I'm going to be that for somebody else. And if you'll allow me for a second, let me just give you some pastoral advice. A way that you can grow to your next level and trusting God. You see, if God puts somebody, brings somebody to your mind, then there's probably a reason for it. And you probably should reach out to them. You probably should call them. You probably should text them. If God's brought somebody to your mind, there's probably a reason. And who knows? It could be that on the other end, there is a person who is feeling all alone, that I've got nobody and nobody cares for me. And they may be praying to God saying, God, if only somebody would call me. And so God's saying, yeah, I've got you over here. Call them. Don't miss that opportunity. This is what it means to be part of a family. At Focus Church, we say, don't do life alone. And if there is now a time more than ever to not do life alone, it is right now when we have to do social distancing. Reach out. Welcome someone to the family. Do something about it. So God, we pray to you today. We ask for your help in this. We recognize that you designed us to not only be in relationship with you, but to also be in relationship with each other. So God, help us that, especially during this time, to be family together, to pray for each other, to talk with each other, to reach out to each other. Help us, God, to be the church you designed us to be there for each other. And as we continue to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed and talking to God today, let me just speak to a moment to those of you who would say, I'm looking for hope. And I promised you that at the end of this message that I would give you an opportunity to receive that hope today. You see, there is hope found in Jesus. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter who you are. You are not too far gone to be beyond the grace that God has for you today. And he's saying, hey, come be a part of the family. You see, Jesus was sent to this planet because God loved you so much. Jesus was sent with a purpose and a mission so that he could pay the price for what you would do wrong. You see, you're never going to be good enough. You may try and do everything right, and you find yourself back in the same spot. And I can't imagine what it'd be like to be going through this particular time and this moment in history that will be a huge deal without hope that comes from following Jesus. But today, you can have that hope. You may say, Pastor, what does it take? I'm ready. Pastor, what do I got to do? And the Bible describes that we've got to talk to God. We've got to pray. We've got to say with our mouth that we're sorry. We've got to believe in our heart that God loved you and he sent his son Jesus and Jesus paid the price for you and God didn't leave him dead. But he brought him to life, new life, a more abundant life, a life that you could have, that you could experience eternal life, that forever you could live with him in heaven. You could have purpose while you're still on this planet. You could have mission. You can have focus to your life. But it involves giving up the driver's seat. Saying, God, I'm not in charge anymore. I give it to you. And so if that's you, I'm going to invite you to pray, repeating after me. And I'm going to ask that everybody pray, repeating after me, because no one prays alone here at Focus Church. And so let's pray, the most important prayer we could ever pray, and say, Dear God, I'm sorry for everything I've done. I need you in charge of me. I believe you love me so much. You sent your son Jesus to pay the price for me. Give me hope. Give me a future. Bring focus to my life. In Jesus' name, amen.